This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The artist Ned Kahn makes his work out of nails, soapy water, sand, bits of steel. Nothing special about the materials. What is special is the way the artist arranges the materials to reflect the laws of science. You won't become a scientist, but you'll have a better grasp of the laws of physics or mathematics once you see what Ned Kahn has made of them. NPR's Joe Palca has the latest in our series on the links between art and science.
Some marriage of art and science seemed inevitable for Ned Kahn.
When I was a little kid, I was always interested in science, but I was never very good at science. But I was always good at art, but I never really thought about art. It was just, something I did because it was fun.
He started out in college as a botany major, but gave up when he saw the 3-inch-thick textbooks filled with Latin names. After graduating from the University of Connecticut, Kahn headed west. One day, he stumbled into the Exploratorium, a San Francisco museum filled with displays inspired by the natural world and the forces that shape it.
Like, oh, this is all the stuff I'm interested in, science and art. And Frank Oppenheimer, the physicist who started the place, he loved the ambiguity that some of those things were made by artists and some by scientists, and that you couldn't really tell the difference.
Kahn was hooked on the place. He begged for a job and was offered an apprenticeship with one of the machinists who built the exhibits.
He'd give me, the jobs of, like, here's the giant bucket of rusty drills we've been saving for the last 10 years, sharpen all these and put them all away. And so in between doing those horrible jobs, whenever no one was looking, I just started making things that I was interested in.
And what he made started showing up in the museum. His first piece was enormously popular. A metal bar dipped into a trough of soapy water, then hoisted into the air by ropes on either side. A giant film of soap would stretch from bar to trough, like a soap bubble, only flat. With just the right lighting, you could see patterns and colors dancing across the film, a piece that revealed the physics of thin films while delighting the eye. That was the start. Dozens more exhibits followed. Chaotic pendulums, smoke vortexes, wind-sculpted dunes. Most of the pieces are visual. Some make intriguing sounds. Unlike the cavernous Exploratorium, the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, where some of Kahn's works were recently displayed, is an intimate space. Kahn shows me a piece called Rain Table.
Well, it's basically a spinning disc with a whole bunch of nails in it and some little steel ball bearings.
Kahn says the piece started out as a math demonstration. If you drop balls through a pyramid-shaped grid of nails, they'll land at the bottom, making a classic shape from statistics called a bell curve. So Kahn banged nails into a board, dropped the balls through, and they made the predicted shape. But the piece was boring.
But the sound these nails made in this board was compelling, and I had done a very crude job. I had pounded some in more than others, and so then I went through and pulled out some and pushed in other ones, and so it started off with the idea of creating a math piece, and it ended up being a musical piece.
And yet it's gravity, not a human hand, that determines how the balls trinkle through the nails. On the other wall of the gallery, there are 3 5-foot-tall rectangular columns. At first, they seem like odd light stands, but closer inspection shows something far more complex. The walls of the column are a sandwich of 2 panes of glass. Between the panes, colored glass beads are blown into complex patterns by an air pump. By choosing the right sized beads and the right airflow, Kahn says the beads resemble the flow of rocks and liquid underground.
So it's almost like looking through a slice of the earth. You see subduction trenches, and you see rift zones, and you see volcanic eruptions and mid-ocean rift kind of seafloor spreading in action.
It's kind of hypnotic because the patterns themselves along the edges, they form and they dissipate and then they fall back down.
Well, I'm kind of drawn to things that I can look at for hours, and I'm sort of intrigued with, a lot of people say, I can look at fire, I could watch a fire all night long, or I could look out at the ocean for hours and hours. And I've always wondered, what is it about those kind of things that make it so you can look at them for hours and hours?
Getting his works to behave the way they're supposed to can also take hours and hours. Kahn's workshop is next to his house, outside Sebastopol in California's Sonoma County. The workshop has a high, curved ceiling with light streaming in through the rafters. Kahn's colleague Uwe Langemesser is cleaning a large sheet of glass that will go into a larger version of the glass column piece.
Before the two pieces are being glued together, this needs to be cleaned thoroughly.
How do you know when it's clean enough?
That's the most frustrating part, that you don't. You clean and clean and clean, and when it's all together, it takes about a week for all the glue to settle. Then you fill it up and you say, oh my God.
And has this piece been ordered, or is it got a place to live?
No. This is started off as a prototype for this museum in Germany, and we encountered enough problems that we actually headed off on a whole different direction with the design, but Uwe is still bravely going to try to make this into something that we can sell to someone. Yeah. Or at least have here to entertain the FedEx and UPS man when they come.
Not that Kahn is having trouble selling his work. He's already done several large wind sculptures for buildings in this country and abroad, and several more are on the way. In each, he tries to reveal some hidden quality of the natural world.
You know, a lot of my work is big, ugly, noisy, messy cities, you know, some big, giant wall of some, you know, very huge, inhuman building, and they give it to me and say, make something, you know, interesting here. And I end up making this thing that's all out of non-natural parts. You know, it's a bunch of aluminum and hinges and stainless steel. But yet, when it's all done and working, it's making the wind visible or reflecting the light from water or something that has this kind of restorative feel to it, something that kind of, is calming and kind of reminds you how beautiful and weird, you know, nature is.
Kahn gets a lot of his ideas by visiting scientists and talking to them about their work. But sometimes the flow of information reverses. Once, Kahn was describing a giant wind sculpture he had built to a group of atmospheric scientists. He showed the group a videotape where you could actually see an individual gust of wind play across the sculpture. One of the scientists pointed out that there were tiny wavelets at the front of each gust.
It's a phenomenon that you see in water a lot. When a big wave comes in, it pushes little waves in front of it. But none of them had any inkling that wind, a gust of wind, does that too. So it showed them something that they didn't know existed. And it was a great moment for me. I felt like I had kind of given them back something for all the things I've borrowed from them over the years.
In a way, all of Kahn's work is borrowing of a kind.
I've tried to create an art that's basically done by something other than me. I mean, most of the art world is kind of about the skill of the artist. And I've tried to create things where I've basically framed a phenomenon, and I'm letting nature actually do the sculpting. So even though I built the thing, it's something bigger than me is actually doing the real sculpting that people see.
And Kahn is most satisfied when people see his work and share that sense of wonder and delight that he feels for the processes of nature. Joe Palca, NPR News.
To glimpse several of Ned Kahn's works and hear the artist elaborate on each one of them, go to our website, npr.org.